This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Wells Tech, episode 547, recorded on May 1st, 2018. My name is Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry. And joining me, as usual, Sally Draper from New Ulm, Minnesota, at least for the time being. Hey, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. Happy to be talking to you for the 547th time on Wells Tech. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess.
So when you jump in that RV this summer, when somebody says, where are you from, what are you going to say?
Interesting topic. If you do a little research on people that full-time RV, you can declare your state of domicile, and most RVers select a state that doesn't have state tax.
Taxes, right?
And so we've actually already established a home address in the lovely state of South Dakota. That will be our domicile, and they have neat services that'll receive your mail and scan it for you and all kinds of cool things, all for a price, of course, but we will be domiciling in South Dakota. I've never been a South Dakota resident before.
South Dakota.
Yeah.
Only driven through, but you have, if I'm not mistaken, do you have a son going to school there? Or is that North Dakota?
That's North Dakota, We figure it's close to all of our good Midwest connections, so that'll be a good place for us to be.
I think we have to spend
one night a year in the state to be a state resident. So yeah, Mount Rushmore is kind of a little far away, but that's part of South Dakota for sure.
Good. Well, there's our geography lesson for the day, everybody. We can call it a day. No, we actually have a show to do and a celebration of sorts, right?
That's right. We were excited to check out the Wells Tech calendar and realize that this show will be released on Wednesday, May 2nd. And that coincides with MLC Day this year. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to learn more about what MLC Day is and you know, take an insider's look at the celebration that's happening at Martin Luther College for MLC Day.
So we talked to Bill Peckrell, their director of PR, public relations, and John Witte. I forgot what he said his title was.
He's a videographer.
I should know that. But we've had both of them on the show before, but they teamed up and gave us a nice little thumbnail of MLC Day and some of the things that they have planned. They're upping their game, certainly. Sally, you were involved with MLC Day back in the day, probably for the first one, right?
Yep, for the first couple, actually, and it's exciting to see how it's grown over time. This year, with a challenge grant of $50,000, maybe the give portion might include up to $100,000 of scholarship money for MLC students, which is super exciting, along with praying for MLC and sharing the good news about Martin Luther College.
Important day. So let's listen to our conversation with Bill and John, and we'll be right back.
We have special guests today joining us for MLC Day celebrations are Director of Public Relations Bill Peckrell and videographer John Witte. Welcome, guys. Happy to have you here.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we were excited to see that Wells Tech production schedule coincided with MLC Day for 2018 and just wanted to touch base and shine a little techie light on the good things happening there at MLC. So maybe we could get started by just talking about what exactly MLC Day is and how long it's been around, that kind of thing.
Well, this will be our third annual. We hope to do this every year, MLC Day. We do it on the first Wednesday of May. We picked that day a lot because we're just on the cusp of the commencement that we'll be having just in 10 days after that, and then of course the call service and the assignments that come after that, the culmination of all the things we're doing here at MLC. So celebrating that, the ministry here at MLC, but I think it also gives us a big chance to thank people for all the support that they've given to us, and just to make that connection a little bit more, just to especially with different groups. This year, we're going to be doing a lot with our high schools. We've gathered some of our alumni from the various Erie Lutheran high schools and some public school students, and we have them do some shout outs to their high schools, and sort of a little bit of a challenge to them that, okay, we're doing this video now, how about you? You know, send something back to us. So we're hoping to make that's a population that we're focusing on this year. So it has the three components that maybe you can see behind us on the on the logo.
Pray, share, give.
Pray, share, give. And so we're continuing with that, asking people to pray for our ministry and for our students and where they're going to be called and assigned very soon. Also to share their support for us on social media, sending up some videos and photos, sharing with their own friends the posts that we have, so that word spreads. And then also giving. We have a giving component. We have another donor this year, very generous, is going to be matching a dollar for dollar up to $50,000. So we're hoping that at the very least we have that our goal would be $100,000. And that money will again go towards supporting students. This is through our Congregational Partner Grant Program. And we're hoping basically with that $100,000, that can support approximately another 100 students, giving them some financial support for their work and their time here at Martin Luther College. So it's always a day full of excitement and fun, and John has really added a lot to that with his expertise and with film and with photos and writing jingles. So.
So tell us a little bit about your video work, John.
Like Bill said, so we've shot a video for every single high school this year, where we brought in their alumni, and we've uploaded those to our new YouTube page that people can go subscribe and watch those all. So we shot those. We also just shot a video of all the choirs at MLC singing a jingle we wrote about MLC. And then we're hoping to get other people singing that jingle and send their videos into us, and then I'll put those videos together in a sort of virtual choir type video where we can see people around the country, maybe world, all singing the jingle that we wrote about MLC Day and supporting MLC through that.
Cool. Now, I'm assuming you didn't do those things or most of those things in previous years. What are you hoping to get out of the effort that you put in using these media tools this year? What do you think the difference might be?
I'm hoping we reach a new, maybe younger audience.
Okay.
More audience in the high school, I think, just making us known, just reaching those people more, really. Or maybe just someone who likes to sing, anyone, really, something like that. But yeah, just widening our audience to maybe people we haven't reached before.
It's one area that I think we're behind on a bit, especially for that population. Our social media is almost predominantly on Facebook. We know for a variety of reasons that we need to expand that. We've had good success so far with that and even with our college students, but if we're going to be looking at reaching out to that younger audience, I think at the very least going to YouTube and then other media channels will be necessary for us.
So with a shift of that to that demographic a little bit, or a little bit more of a focus, maybe there's a recruiting angle as well, hoping to introduce them to the school and reflect the school in a positive light for maybe consideration down the road.
Yep, exactly. So all of our recruitment videos and promotional videos will also go on YouTube, so everybody can see those and we can push them out to that audience more easily.
Did you say it was a new YouTube channel or an existing one, John?
It's a new one. Most of our videos have been uploaded to Facebook or Vimeo before. Okay. And just about a month ago, we launched our YouTube page. It's just called Martin Luther College. So all our videos will be going on there, and yeah, tons of media going there.
So we're hoping right now, we've already gotten a couple high schools have sent their videos back to us. So about 22 more, and we'll have a full
but we're nice to set those aspirational goals.
That's right. We have full confidence and of that happening. So it's been really fun, and the the students have enjoyed doing it. We had all the choirs together singing that song just yesterday.
That was yesterday.
John took the lift higher than we were expecting that he was going to go. I think higher than he was expecting.
Yeah, I kept going up and ended up about 3 feet from the roof of the chapel.
I'm sure his mom will be really excited to hear
that. Oh, yes.
Fun stuff. So YouTube-wise, did I hear that you were going to do some YouTube live stuff maybe on MLC Day?
Yeah, so MLC Day, we're going to be live in between classes, going into classes, talking to students about what they're thankful for, thanking people for their support on YouTube Live. So people can come subscribe to our page, watch that live stream, and then that live stream will also be archived on our page for people to go back and watch just more promotional video about MLC and such.
So basically on that day, on May 2nd, we'll be, I guess, about the top of the hour, maybe 10 minutes before and 10 minutes after, around in that time period. We're taking a little bit of a chance doing that live with our students and faculty going by us and just kind of grabbing them in and asking them to, you know, say something on, we'll let people know this is happening. We're still deciding on whether before first hour, if that's when we want to be.
7:20 in the morning.
We'll have coffee. But anyway.
That's what I was wondering, if there's a coffee station nearby. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So is this just the two of you getting your heads together, figuring out what all this is, or is there a larger group that does some planning and prep? I'm sure there's other stuff going on.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff. We had a meeting at a coffee shop and just kind of talked through everything. The jingle idea came out of that.
There is a larger group of students. There's another activity that's going on at the same time. That's our Thankathon. Kind of happens right in the middle of MLC Day. It's right during our lunch hour and then also during our evening meal time. And that's a time when students gather and then they write out thank you cards and they'll be doing whiteboard messages that we'll be posting on our Facebook page, sending shout outs back home into their schools and their congregations. We're also this year, I'm going to be inviting the New Ulm community up to do that as well. I'm giving an incentive to a dollar off their lunch in the cafeteria. Come and do a video.
Better bargain. Yeah.
That's right. So that's a lot of activity. And there is a group of students committee that works on that Thankathon element, getting those together and making it kind of a festive atmosphere during that time during MLC Day.
Very fun activities. Well, we certainly have lots to be thankful for with Martin Luther College, and we wish you blessings on your efforts for MLC Day. I hope it's a great day for you guys, and that jingle comes together, Jonathan. We're going to be watching for that video.
Yeah. So if you're watching this, send in videos of you singing that jingle.
There you go.
Somebody wants to catch up on all this stuff. Where can we send them to? The MLC homepage? Are there other places you'd like people to maybe visit you in your digital online presences?
If they go to mlcday.com, that's our homepage. On that homepage, you'll see some examples of the Pray, Share, Give, what that means for us. And then there's also a media kit. And in that media kit, there's some things that we can share with others. And there's also some examples of what other people have done on that page. And then there's also an MP3 on that page where people could sing along. On that, you'll see that there's sheet music that John put together. He very graciously put my name on that. That's because we were just at wit's end, not knowing what words to put with the jingle. So that's the first piece of music I've and probably will ever have my name on. But that's
videos could probably be sent to social at mlc-wells.edu.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome.
Can be sent there, or just upload it, and we can talk there.
Yeah, visit that. I think it's worth tuning in, if for no other reason, to get ideas maybe for a local organization, congregation, thinking about having a day. I think there's some transferable tools and techniques that you guys are using that's learning. And then, of course, support MLC on that day, too.
Right. So yeah. I think everybody, if they haven't done an MLC day or they don't know what that's all about, we'd like congregation schools all the way across the Synod to have an MLC day on, you know, that first Wednesday in May. So kind of wondering what that's about. Tune in and you'll see all the fun as well.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys, for taking time out of your busy schedule. Blessings on your work leading up to that and the day itself. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Bill and John, for taking the time out of probably a very hectic schedule as they were prepping for the day. And probably by the time you're watching or listening to this, the day will be done. And you've probably seen all the stuff on social media, heard the jingle, seen the YouTube video and everything that was MLC Day. So a lot of stuff they had planned.
Yeah, I'm excited to share their brand new YouTube channel, Martin Luther College, over on YouTube. Wells Tech is subscribed, and we think you should be as well, because there's lots of great content coming out on the MLC YouTube channel. And we'll have a YouTube video to feature at the end of the show from Martin Luther College. So you want to stay tuned for that.
One thing that struck me in the conversation is that it's really not just a fundraiser of sorts. It's awareness of the ministry of the school. It's a promotion of the school for potential future pastors and teachers and staff ministers. It's an opportunity to keep MLC in your prayers and really just be a supporter in any way, shape, or form of the school and its ministry. And Sally, both you and I know a lot of people there, and we both know that they have a super heart for ministry, and what they're doing there is important, very important stuff for the kingdom, and God's blessing their work.
Yeah, I definitely think maybe we should have more than one day, but we as a synod should definitely celebrate what is Martin Luther College for all that happens there and all the ways that it supports the ministry that we're all about, sharing that good news.
So, you've seen that up close and personal with definitely. A family member going through there too.
That's right. That's right. Good stuff.
Absolutely. So again, thanks to Bill and John for getting us the update and for all the work they're doing for MLC Day and everybody else that was involved with making that day a blessing to the Synod. Let's move on in our show to our News in Tech segment. And a good old friend has a facelift and some amazing new features.
Yeah, I think there's quite a buzz around the fact that new Gmail features are being rolled out. I think it's been quite a while since they've done some major updates to Gmail. And so we have a link in the show notes that'll bring you to an article that'll kind of demonstrate the different things that are available, including confidential mode, where you can set up self-destructing emails or unforwardable emails, so you can indicate that you don't want the person to be able to forward it. There are features around important emails, so you can't skip over things or miss them. You can snooze things so they come back up. You can get nudges on email that are sent to you so that you're reminded by Google to take a look at them, that kind of thing. I don't know about you, Martin. I was just reflecting on my inbox. I checked it at lunchtime today, and what was completely empty at the beginning of the day had 21 unread messages, and that's not counting all the ones that I have open. So having Google help me a little with that is very welcome.
Yeah, that's one of the neat features I've been using in Google's other product or other email service called Inbox, which is built on the same platform, but just maybe is a little bit more mobile friendly. And one of the features that I use a lot is that scheduling function where you can swipe to the left or right or whatever your preference is and say, hey, show this to me in a week or tomorrow or a month from now. That's really helpful when you're doing this, especially on mobile and trying to get to that inbox zero and don't want to look at an email knowing that you're not going to be able to deal with this or really don't want to deal with it because it's not relevant for the here and now. Just a neat feature to be able to do that. So now the regular old Gmail is doing that as well.
Definitely. Another thing they're doing well is offline mode. Up until now, you had to have an internet connection to do things like write replies to emails or even see your emails. But now you can do that kind of thing on an airplane or wherever it may be and send them once you're connected to the internet again. And You know, there are other things listed here in the article, one-tapped unsubscribe prompts, anti-phishing enhancements, and more. You can get it now, and they tell you how. There's a link in the settings area where you can try the new Gmail if you want to go ahead and switch over to it and give it a try. But otherwise, it will be rolling out over time, these new features. So check out the article for more details on the changes to Gmail.
Good. Let's move along. And the next segment that normally takes this space in the show is something we call Wells Now, where we kind of look high and low for Synod news or events, and a couple of big ones coming up.
Yeah, we always look forward to May because we get to celebrate as a Synod the graduates from Martin Luther College and Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary and their assignment into their first field of ministry. And those events are coming up very soon. Interestingly, they are more than a week apart this year. They're 2 weeks apart, which is not the norm. Usually the MLC graduation happens, and then the following week, the WLS graduation happens. But this year, there's a week in between there of buffer. So MLC dates are May 11th and 12th, and you're going to find live streaming of all their exciting events. They have commencement concerts on Friday, May 11th, and it happens twice at 4 and 7:30 p.m. And then the big event will be Saturday morning, May 12th, graduation at 10 a.m., and then in the afternoon at 2 p.m., a call service. You mentioned earlier, I've observed a student going through MLC up close and personal, and I'm very thrilled to say my son and daughter-in-law will be part of that graduation service. And we are really looking forward to celebrating with them and the call service that follows. So fun times.
You have a reason. Is there something going on with the call service with your daughter-in-law then?
Maybe we're hoping that she would be up for assignment as they are moving over to the Milwaukee area for Stanley to start seminary. So okay. Yeah, very exciting times. Lunch at the Drapers, if you're around, you're welcome to join us as we anticipate that afternoon service. So WLS graduation call service dates are May 24th and 25th. They call service on Thursday morning, the 24th at 10 a.m. Graduation service Friday morning at 10 a.m. as well. And both of those will be live streamed from the WLS website. So check that out. I think back in the day, vicar assignments were on a Tuesday night and only the senior assignments were on Thursday morning. But now it's combined into one service. So all assignments will be announced Thursday, May 24th.
That makes more sense, I think. So. Mm-hmm. And then finally, something that's not this month, but a little bit more than a year. I don't know what the exact days are. We have a countdown on the site, but Wells Ed Tech Lead. That's a education, technology, and leadership conference that we are joining forces with the Lutheran Schools Office. We have a call for presenters open. It's been open for a month or so, just 1 month left. And we have a lot of submissions so far of very interesting talks, and we would like more to choose from. There are a number of areas that probably have some gaps in them yet. So if you are of a mind to want to present for this conference, it's essentially a 3-day conference. We have pre-conference workshops. We have hour-long or 2-hour-long workshops and or sectionals, whatever you want to call them. We're looking for all kinds of speakers. Even if you haven't presented before, maybe you want to consider that. If you go to Wells Ed Tech, what is it? WellsEdTechLead.com. There's a call for presenters link there at the top. And just go in there. You can read a little bit more about it, but you have 1 month to submit or encourage somebody that you know might have a presentation up their sleeve that would be welcomed at the conference. We'd love for you to submit. That conference is being held at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells. And being a presenter comes with some perks, honorarium, and I think it's one free night's lodging, right?
Mm-hmm. And a stipend for travel as well.
Stipend for travel. So not without some compensation for your trouble, plus the joy of attending. This Wells Tech of 2015 is any indicator, a good time will be had by all. So. keep that in mind.
Very excited for that big event.
Let's move on, Sally, to our picks of the week.
And I think I'm up first. I'm going to share my screen for those watching, but even if you're not watching, I will encourage you to sit up straight as you're listening to my pick of the week, because it's an article from How to Geek titled Six Tips to Help Save Yourself from Poor Computer Posture.
I see what you did there. Nice lead.
Yeah. And I think this is something that we all need to pay attention to, because our society has just gone to us being very passive and sitting at our desk for lengthy periods of time. And it's very easy to slump as you are in that position, that sitting position. And so they give you some good imagery of what your good posture should look like, with a nice straight backbone and your head aligned directly over your backbone, not slumped down or whatever. The article actually says sitting is killing you. Sitting on its own isn't inherently bad, but if you work at a computer, sitting for hours every day is ultimately hard on your body. So they are giving you six tips. I'll just run through those quickly. Set your monitor height correctly and at a proper distance, so it doesn't encourage you to look downward but more straight on with your monitor. And that might mean bringing your laptop up to a higher level if you're looking at a laptop screen. Uncross your legs, so it's unhealthy for your circulation and such for your legs to be crossed. Better to plant them firmly on the floor. Roll your shoulders back, so maybe just consciously doing that as you're working throughout the day. I have a little buzzer on my wristwatch, my Fitbit actually, that reminds me to get up and walk every hour, but maybe that's a chance for you to concentrate on your posture as well, or set a reminder of that effect. Do yoga or Pilates to maintain your good posture. Do desk exercises, and they link to some good exercises like rolling your neck, that kind of thing. And then finally, standing up. If at all possible, you could just eliminate the sitting aspect of your computer work and use a standing desk. Kevin and I just had this discussion about the RV, because he's used to using a standing desk, and there's not as much clearance and things for that kind of thing in an RV setting, but I think we figured out a way to make it happen. So we're going to try to have at least one of our desks be a standing desk and maybe alternate the use of it or whatever. So I actually have a seventh one to add, and maybe there's some article out there on the World Wide Web that supports this as well. But one thing I do is I put a footstool under my feet. So rather than planting my feet firmly on the floor, I plant them on the footstool, which helps me to have more of a lean back and straight posture than just kind of sinking down into the sitting position. So just want to encourage you to maybe make today the day that you concentrate on your posture at your computer and adopt some healthy habits around that.
Interesting. Two things that I've found helpful. One is buy a good chair. Two pieces of advice about computing: buy a good computer and buy a good chair, because those are the things that you are using the most, and you don't want to fight with either one. So invest the money. Those are tools of the trade, especially for us people who have office jobs. And then another one, and I don't know if this has anything to do with posture, but it seems to have helped me, is I've taken to the habit of taking the arms off my chair. So it becomes more of a task chair. And I think with arms, I tend to hunch up a little bit depending on the height of the arms. And my posture just isn't as good. So I take the arms off, and I think it helps my core a little bit. And I don't know if there's science behind that or not. That's just been my experience. So those were a couple things that, that I would recommend.
Those pass the Sally test too. I'm sitting in a new chair. Kevin and I actually shopped for chairs for the RV because we wanted to have matching chairs, and they came with arms, and we took those arms right off of them because we agree with you in that kind of hunches
and
you up even
a little
more.
Space too, I would assume.
Yeah, we're into saving space. That's true. Very good.
All right. My pick of the week is something that I have picked before, but worth picking again because I find it super useful. And that is a tool, cross-platform tool called Text Expander. And this has been, I think, brought up through community feedback as well. There's been other people who have recommended this as well. But Text Expander is, it does a lot of things, but primarily it is a text replacement tool. And you have it installed. It just kind of sits in the tray or in the background, and it's just waiting for you to type the magic letters that you've pre-assigned that will expand into something larger. So as an example, I have a signature snippet. They call them snippets. So that whenever I type in the special character followed by the code letters, in my case, SIG for SIG, so I'll hit colon SIG, then it knows to spring into action and insert my formal email signature, first name, last name, title, address, phone, even logo, Synod logo goes in there. So it's just a little snippet away. There are other things that I will plug in there as well. So I have an informal signature. I have some canned text for commonly asked questions. Text Expander is actually very sophisticated, where you can program it to accept placeholders so that you insert the snippet, and if you wanted to insert blanks where you would type in something, just by hitting tab and tab through your paragraph, you can add customized text. Very easy to add snippets. It's just it's kind of an all-purpose tool, and it's one of the first things that I install when I set up a new computer, because it really is helpful in kind of taking that oft-used text and running it right in. It also has spell-checking capabilities, and it's just a nice tool. There is a free version with limited capabilities, but I think that is not that will not take you beyond 30 days. But there it is, a $3.36 per month charge billed annually. Or you can get it for teams where you can share those snippets. They'll even give you a little utility that'll show you how much time you've saved by not having to type in all that stuff. Just a super easy tool. Like I say, cross-platform, works on Windows, works on Mac. And there are some packaged snippets that have been sent our way in the past by Emil Burgess. Pastor Emil Burgess is a Text Expander user. And he sent some ministry snippets, some Christian worship and worship supplement snippets. So you just type in, for instance, the title of a hymn or the number of a hymn or the number of stanzas. You can program it that way. And out will pop the lyrics to a hymn, the text of a hymn. Lots of different ways to use this. So I think anything that you do repetitively or want to remember and make an easy shortcut to just spit it out, Text Expander is probably the way to go.
You know, Martin, I can remember us talking about this years ago and me not investing the time to set up Text Expander, and all the time since then that I reminded myself, you should have set up that text expanding thing, whatever it's called. So I should really stop and pay attention now. It's kind of like an investment in yourself to do this kind of thing. It seems a little painful to go through the process and set it up and pay the annual fee. But once you make use of it, I can imagine it just really enhances your productivity and saves your brain from having to think of that stuff every single time and know that maybe I'm not saying it as thoroughly as I should, or, you know, I'm missing something in the process. You just right. Fix it and forget it kind of thing, and make use of it with your shortcuts.
Yeah, if there's something, yeah, certainly that you have to type in frequently. For, for different things with our Shop Wells program, I'll get the question, oh, what do you recommend for church management software? Or what do you recommend for, you know, web developer, website development? And those are pretty much the same answers, maybe with a slight variation. But it takes a while to write out that email and give links and suggestions and take the time to do that once, but then remember it and put it into Text Expander, and then you've got it there for easy reference. So that's a good stuff.
Great pick.
Let's move on to our ministry resource. And I grabbed this one this time, and one of the reasons that I grabbed it is because OneNote has been on my mind a lot lately. We've talked about that in the past couple shows. And I ran across a YouTube video called Create a Digital Escape Room with OneNote. It's a four-part video. These are short, 4 or 5 minute YouTube videos that talk about how to use OneNote as an escape room. Now, I'm not a big escape room person. I know, Sal, you are, at least in the analog world, but this is a digital way to kind of plot this. And OneNote is kind of a nice paradigm for this because it has the ability to kind of tab your way through it. You can include text, you can include videos, you can include audio files, all kinds of things that could be kind of melded together for clues. Just a nice interface for this kind of thing. And so if you're looking for something for your classroom or something that might work in another scenario, this might be something to consider. You don't have to go through the pain and suffering of setting up a website and all the programming around that. This is easy to set up a tab and insert all of your media.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is this is seems like a lot easier solution than some of the digital breakout EDU rooms that I've seen. They typically make use of Google Sites and maybe embed a Google form for people to type their answers into or whatever. But it takes some effort to put it all together on a web page and thing. And OneNote, certainly. One thing I can say for OneNote is you can do whatever you want with very little effort. You can drag and drop and format however you want. Now, that gives you a lot of leeway to do it not very well, but certainly our listeners would have very high standards as to how they format their OneNotes and make it look just awesome. So I'm anxious to watch this video series and see how they make this happen. Maybe I'll set up an escape room for you, Martin, and see if I can keep you locked in for a while.
We should do it for the team. That would be kind of a cool.
Yeah, I agree. Would be fun.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that is our ministry resource. Let's move on to community feedback.
And I think I felt a little bit guilty, so I wanted to play a little bit of catch up. Our community feedback section has been skipping over a few things lately, and so we're trying to make sure we've made mention of all the great community feedback that's happening out there. And first up on the list is something from our friend Leslie Bergerman. Leslie's a longtime Wells Tech listener, one of our conference planners from 2015, and she had a great question regarding some Google security changes. And I guess maybe worth a mention, and maybe we should dedicate a little more time to it. I've been getting a lot of security kind of email lately in terms of service changing and things like that. And I think a lot of that has to do with that GDPR effort, if I'm not mistaken, Martin. Maybe you know a little more about that.
Yep. That's the European Union's new regulations about data privacy. That is one of the reasons you're seeing renewed privacy policies that are being sent to you, likely accounting for that. We probably should actually do a show on that because it does have ramifications for especially our schools, but even our churches. Mm-hmm. If you maintain a database that may have a European Union resident, not just citizen, but resident, somebody living there, so maybe there's somebody on your mailing list or whatever, this really does apply to you, and there could be penalties for not complying. And it has to do with the permission that you need to seek when somebody fills out maybe a form, gets on a mailing list, subscribes to a newsletter, or the data that you store in your church management software needs to be in compliance with GDPR regulations. So, yeah, definitely. Getting back to Leslie's question, which was about Final Web and Google saying, well, if you don't have a secure site, an HTTPS site, we aren't going to send people your way, or we're going to reduce your search engine optimization, so people aren't going to find you. And so we reached out, or Sally, you reached out to Brian Schaefer at Final Web saying, hey, what's up with HTTPS for Final Web sites? And why don't you share with everybody his answer?
Yeah, I was very excited to get the reply from Ryan that, yes, they can make your Final Web site HTTPS secured site, and all you really need to do is request it of them to make that switch. So they switch Leslie's on the day that she asked the question, and I'm sure they'd be happy to work with you if you reach out to their support to make yours switched over as well. I think Leslie specifically was looking at it from a school perspective. Just like you said, Martin, schools do track data on people, and so that's important. But I think across the board, Google is showing that they are supporting more secure sites by making it more obvious in the Chrome browser that a site is not secure if it doesn't start with the HTTPS protocol.
Good. So thanks for the question, Leslie, and good news for everybody. So if you have a Final Web site, make sure, I would recommend to everybody, go ahead and request a Final Web to upgrade your site, so to speak, to that.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we heard from Pastor Clint Rogas, serving down in Texas. And he wrote to us about his email service. A longtime Gmail user, he's considering making a change, Martin.
Yeah, he was interested in or not interested in Google kind of tracking him and knowing more about him than he was comfortable with. And that's absolutely a valid concern, and was hoping maybe to find an email provider that didn't do that kind of tracking. That's a great question, because no matter kind of where you go, whether it's Microsoft or Google or Apple or whatever, they do take that data and do stuff with it. We heard about the whole Facebook thing and Messenger, et cetera. But I didn't have a great answer for him other than, well, your ISP, whoever your internet provider, probably does provide email, and they may or may not, you know, have some kind of privacy clause that would just leave your email alone, just kind of be a pass-through. And he said, well, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that, but he would like his maybe email to be a little bit more portable. So rather than kind of being stuck or trapped at an ISP, that's one of the appeals of a Gmail. You can kind of take it wherever you go, no matter what. Is there something out there? And I didn't have a real good answer. In fact, I would throw this out to our listeners that if you found an email service that you're comfortable with and you know feel that they're not big on the tracking stuff and you know would give you a little bit more privacy but are flexible and you can kind of take them with you, let us know. I did find an article entitled the five best secure email services for 2018. This isn't exactly what Clint's question was, because these do email encryption, those kinds of things, but these aren't essentially free either, but ProtonMail, CounterMail, HushMail, which I've heard of before but haven't used, MailFence, and there was one other, Tutanota, I don't know if I'm saying that right, are all services out there that offer encrypted email. And a lot of them work the same way. They'll send an email, and this is a part of what Gmail is now incorporating, where you can send an email, and if you want to encrypt it, the way the other person needs to read it is to click on a link, validate who they are, and then basically pull it down from a website. So it's not going through the normal email channels, which is inherently insecure. And that's probably another message to everybody, that regardless of who your email provider is, you really shouldn't consider email secure unless you use a service like one of these as well. So not the greatest answer for Clint, but if you have advice for him, let us know. And the way to do that, we should probably do a quick plug. Go to wellstech.wells.net, and across the top you can see all of the ways to connect with us, all the social media that we're at. But you can also send an email, wellstech@wells.net, leave a voicemail or leave a note or some feedback on any of the shows. There's the link there to comment, and we'll get it that way as well.
Excellent. All right. Next up, I wanted to make mention of something that's wrapping up very soon, and I just learned about it. Somehow I missed a sweepstakes offer from Christ in Media Institute. They're encouraging us to share the Savior by either tweeting or sharing on Facebook your favorite Bible passage and including the hashtag Share the Savior and at mentioning Christ in Media Institute. They're giving away a $25 gift card to Target, and the window for being included in the drawing for the gift card ends on May 2nd. So you'll want to get this out there in your social channels before end of day, May 2nd. And they're going to do the drawing on May 3rd. So you would find out that quickly if you were a winner. So neat idea. And certainly you don't have to stop sharing your Savior just because the sweepstakes ends. But if you want to be part of the $25 gift card giveaway drawing, do it by the end of day, May 2nd.
Like the way you introduced that, that's a sweepstakes, made it sound like, boy, this is going to change my life. But actually may change the life of somebody else. So this is cool stuff.
Yeah, it is. And then finally, via our Wells Intersection channel, which is run by Pastor James Aderman and a place to talk about technology and ministry, we learned of two promotional videos done for congregations. So if you're considering, or maybe you aren't considering, but should be, an introductory video for your church website, perhaps, or to use in social media, here's a couple of great examples. The first is from Hope Lutheran Church in Leander, Texas. And Hope is an ELS congregation, and our friend Philip Wells actually shot a promo video for them. They have a beautiful new sanctuary, and it's a really nicely done video. We also have a video that was shared by Pastor Aderman from Christ the Lord Lutheran Church in Clearwater, Florida. And they definitely got the good location going for them, got some pretty beach scenes as part of their video as well. So just two things to inspire our listeners to perhaps consider their own promotional video and get some ideas from these that have been produced fairly recently.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of the point is, or part of Pastor Aderman's point is, excuse me, you don't necessarily need the pros to come in and do a professional video. There are things that you can do with equipment maybe that you already have or your members have. Just kind of think about content first. And in this YouTube generation, there are some do's and don'ts, of course, but I think the ability to produce a compelling video and a message is well within the grasp of most congregations and schools. So.
Definitely.
Sally, you teased the video of the week as being something from MLC Day, kind of a cool one.
It is. I'm just working a little magic on my screen because I want to share with you the resource page they've put together for MLC Day. So if you're looking for some things to share, they have logos and social posts and things like that you can share. But one thing brand new for MLC Day 2018 is an MLC Day jingle. You heard the guys talk about it during the interview. The sheet music is out here, and the MLC choirs, combined choirs, got together to record the jingle. Both their shout out to listeners and then their suggested response. There's a second verse that they wanted the schools perhaps to reply with. Their idea is to mash up all those videos into one, so maybe we'll have another MLC Day jingle video resource before too long. But check it out. It's a catchy tune. I'm quite impressed with Jonathan Witte for his musical talents there for writing the MLC Day jingle.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Sally, I am also excited about our next three shows we have coming up in the next 3 weeks. We came across kind of a little gold mine, I'd call it, some class projects. I don't know if they're called senior theses, whatever. Seniors at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary are asked to kind of close out their educational careers with a pretty meaty treatise on some topic. And we found three that we think would be really interesting to our audience. Some around technology or social media or millennials, things that I think would be very interesting to go through. And we invited those three guys on to talk about their project, and that's what we're going to be doing over the next 3 weeks. So that's exciting to talk to these guys just getting ready to head out into ministry, but spend some good quality brain power and research that they're willing to share with us. So that's going to be coming up over the next few weeks.
Looking forward to it.
Good. Sally, thanks for all you do. And thanks to all of you for joining us on Wells Tech. We really do appreciate your time, and we know that it's a conscious decision for you to download and to listen or watch. And please consider sharing, bringing your friends, and join us next week. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you.